All right. I'm calling the library board meeting on June 20th at 6:45 to order. Present are board chair Jennifer Dagus, board members Laura Brown, Nancy Saban, Wendy Freelander, Cindy Vermilia, and librarian Michelle Schneider. Are there any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on to item 3, approval of May 16th meeting minutes. Are there any changes?
Changes to the agenda. I forgot to put on here voting on your position.
Okay.
Please.
Voting on chair.
Chair position.
Okay. So every July, the board is supposed to vote on the board chairs.
Yes. So we're telling us now.
Oh, okay. 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 Mm-hmm.
So we can touch on that on other business. Any other changes? Okay. Meeting minutes.
I move that we accept and approve the minutes from the meeting.
Do we need a second? I feel like we don't have any.
Go ahead.
We have a second.
All right.
That approved.
May 16th meeting minutes are accepted. Item 4, review computer use policy.
Meeting minutes of April 14th. You said May 16th.
Yeah,
mine says May 16th.
We're doing May 16th.
This says
but approve April minutes. You don't approve.
We're approving the May minutes.
That's the draft one.
April minutes were approved at the May meeting.
Yes, never mind.
No, we're approving.
I'm not. It's been a long
That's okay.
Day.
That copy says draft.
Yes.
Sorry.
This was a very busy day.
I completely understand.
Computer use policy. So you just handed out our old policy. So we have a internet policy and a technically internet policy.
If you look at the
one supersede the other, or what is the deal with?
So if you look at the public library policy page, two of them were date unknown, and then one actually had a date of 2012. The 2015, I was not actually able to come up with the actual one. It may be part of something else, but they were all very they didn't encompass what the internet is today. And so regardless whether or not I can find it, the policy would be woefully not.
Like this one keeps talking about your floppy disks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, one of the policies I pulled up, even though it had floppy disks, I was like, no, I think that was Albany's.
Oh,
and I was like,
not. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, just even in 2012, they had a child under the age of 9 had to be accompanied by an adult. And traditionally, we say 11 now, just, you know.
Because there's so much more on the internet.
There is so much more. And so just even.
And this one with the search station policy, it's like explaining what the internet is. I think we can move on from the 2012 document.
Those were there so that you can see how much kind of irrelevant they have now become, and that we need to supersede them with something much, much better. So we'll just put those two aside.
These are the three I found. These are the two I found, and then this is one copy of the third.
I didn't print mine out, but they're in an email form and I can pull it up in this room. I thought it was interesting, the ones I found. It was a variety of links. One was just short and sweet and basically said, you have free reign on the internet. We restrict to nothing. that was the Brunswick Public Library, which I also thought was, you know, like, okay, that's all they offered. And then there were others that had guidelines for using it, but no policy. And then there was another one that was about 2 pages, and I think it was updated in 2015. So there's probably a lot more relevant ones that are out there, but there's a variety from what I found.
And two of them, it's probably because I just clicked on the link and only the whole link wasn't in blue. Like at some point it stopped being in blue, and so they wouldn't load.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Because there were so many attached, I was like, oh, I'm just not going to get this. But if they're all old, then I'm not going to worry about it anymore. So Corvallis, theirs is fairly recent. I mean, the original, because they keep a log on theirs that tells you when it was amended and
yes, Sias Law,
all that stuff does the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
And so it was originally, they formulated it in 99, but it's been amended several times. And then it says it was adopted as administrative policy in 2021. So it's not terribly old. And theirs is
what does that mean?
I don't know. It was adopted as council policy in 99 and then adopted as administrative policy. So maybe they've changed the way they're...
They could have also had to incorporate it into the city policy, which I did reach out to our IT specialist to coordinate with him. So whatever we come up with, we'll vet through him as well to make sure that it goes through city policy. And then, of course, it will have to go through city council for final approval. So many eyes, and we'll try and come up with something that makes sense for everybody.
I'm just now realizing that the Bellingham one, it was updated in 2022. Hmm. So it is pretty relevant. Mm-hmm.
So just to clarify, at this library, we still require signups in advance?
So the way patrons, with the new software that we loaded with the new computers, there is a basic login to the system, either as a library patron using your library card number or a guest pass. Mm-hmm. And as at this point, we've not had a security policy to kind of post because these were so outdated, you know, floppy disk. Nobody would understand half of the policy if we had posted that. It was almost better not to put anything than put something that was poorly applied.
Right. So is the idea that when they sign in, the policy will appear for them to agree to?
Okay. Yes.
But my question is that on the old policy, it says you have to sign up, like, so you can have it for an hour. It starts at the top of the hour, ends at the bottom of the hour.
Previous to these computers and the software that we got this year, a patron would just give us their first name at the front desk to then use a computer. It was more of a kind of like a tracking system so that we could use it for stats and how many people were using computers. Right. But there was no real limits on that. Yeah, now we have security as part of the software, and it wipes the computer clean. And so, yes, which is one of the things I definitely wanted to get.
What kind of filters?
We have no filters. Predominantly due to the space of our library only having capacity in the adult side, children are for the most part accompanied by an adult when they're over here. I do have teens that are on the computers, and children, you know, if their parents allow them to, while they're looking at books and whatnot, as low as like age 11. And some of them will be younger, but the parents are nearby. Mm-hmm. The filter is the parent, and, you know.
One of the policies that I found, that's how they explain it. Mm-hmm. And then one of them basically, one of them has a filter and it talks about the filter. And then another one is basically like, you're at your own risk. The internet is, you know,
this one actually, like the Bellingham one, says the library does not control the information available mm-hmm. on and the internet.
That's very standard library access to information.
Does not control the information available over the internet.
Yeah.
And is not responsible for mm-hmm. its content, which.
But I like it says the internet offers an access of wealth of information that is personally, professionally, and culturally enriching. It may also offer access to information that is inaccurate, incomplete, or dated.
Yes.
and some sources may be offensive.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. this one leads with that. Some information may be inaccurate, incomplete, dated, or offensive to some individuals.
Mm-hmm. This is, I like this one the best, the one that only printed one. The Scenic National Library does not monitor and has no control over the information accessed to the internet. I like the whole like doesn't monitor, because mm-hmm. that's like a really big library point, is we're not evaluating what you're looking at. And
mm-hmm. okay. But then the Bellingham one, so I like that, but the Bellingham one afterwards says it requires responsible use.
Yes. Like, I mean, fits in with our patron conduct policy, right. Of, yes. These sites are, considered pornography, and that is not acceptable in a library. And right. So.
At least in areas where the children have access. Which is 100% owners.
Yeah. Part of the, in my mind, when we're establishing policies for things that hopefully patrons will read and be aware of, is that I think we need to be kind of succinct.
Yes.
And we don't need to say the internet is this vast and marvelous mm-hmm. place where you can find. We just need to say it can be dangerous. Protect yourself.
Right.
Like we. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, if people are going to read it at all, the fewer words there are, the more likely they're going
to
read it.
Bullet point. Yep. To the point.
I like the use of like the subheadings, like things that like if you're kind of looking for something in a policy, that like those words be like, oh, okay, that area. Yeah, like you're saying, like if they're gonna read it, they're mm-hmm. gonna read just a little bit and only the parts that they even care about.
Yeah. Like if you ever actually look at the terms and conditions of those things on the internet, I always scroll through and I'm like, privacy, what's sometimes the privacy
force
line?
You to.
Right, they make you scroll to the end. Mm-hmm. But so I try and pick out of the 1,000 pages or whatever it is. I'm like, is there anything that's actually relevant to me?
Have like a I acknowledge button? Like
it does. Click. Yeah, it up to the side it says continue. It's like, so okay. They're supposed to, it's a landing page.
Acknowledgement.
Exactly. Yes.
And you actually have to agree at Fernridge when you log in. There's the statement, which I couldn't tell you what it says right now, but mm-hmm. I know it's not the same as the policy that they show online. And then you click, I agree mm-hmm. before it will take you outside.
So page. The way that ours are set up, you log in either as a patron or as a guest. And the next window basically tells you that you have 2 hours and that, some other blurbage, and then you say next, and then that's where the policy page is supposed to appear, and then it's either accept or exit, I believe, in meaning like closes the program,
right? And you don't get to use the computer.
Yeah,
so sorry.
So and then it goes straight into the computer desktop after that. So
what are our thoughts? This policy, this one is use the San Diego's policy. It says that, where did it go? It talked about commercial purposes. Computers may not be used for commercial purposes. Where is that an fall issue? On that?
So you're also more directed, at a computer level or computer college level
mm-hmm.
There where you're coming in a little bit differently than a public library, especially a smaller town library. Mm-hmm. More often found is if we're mentioning something about copyright, mm-hmm. and that's something that may come up. Commercial use, I think a lot of people, again, it goes back upon their own responsibility. If you are taking something from the internet and then reselling it, then you're taking the responsibility of being sued, I guess, of someone else's work. But
mm-hmm. One of these, that Cindy provided from Scenic Regional Library,
mm-hmm.
it has stuff about filtering and assist to comply with federal and state laws governing internet access.
That's a lot of times, actually, I learned that if you get like grants for like discounts on internet or something, then you have to apply the filters or something. Okay. Like,
interesting.
I'm just wondering why they're bringing
it's a controversial issue in libraries.
Yeah,
because you are censoring But you're doing it because you're getting grants.
And that it's extra software that you actually have to purchase. And that's more than we have money for at the moment. And not that we necessarily want to invest our fund, limited funding that direction. It's, you know, that is not a continuous issue as presented to us now, you know.
Maybe school libraries have to do that for sure.
I mean, that would make more sense. So this is from Sias Law. It says the library's internet access may not be used for purposes which violate federal, state, or local laws. Includes but not limited to transmitting or receiving obscene materials or transmitting harassing or threatening or libelous materials. Distribution of unsolicited messages, spam, that could be considered commercial, or violating copyright or trademark laws, software licensing agreements, and or intellectual property rights. And they just did that firm little paragraph, and that kind of like covers, you know, something that is, you know, yes. So what you were saying of like, I like the little paragraphs, makes more sense, because reading something big block, it just loses any point to it, you know. And if you like did something a little bullet pointed and you said this is for, you know, whatever, that would, yes, definitely more helpful to anybody who's looking at it. But I do think that there's two separate conditions on the internet policy. There was the one of just kind of like the use of, you know, just normal kind of like sit down. Sometimes the policy is like, oh, you have 2 hours and you sit down and please respect the privacy of all the other patrons and be appropriate. And then the other half is the actual, don't do this on the computer, or, you know, this will, you know, feed into the patron conduct rules, blah, blah, blah.
So what are you thinking? Can there be an official policy, an internet policy, which is available to people who are looking up the policy? And then there's like the short version that you agree to, which is like, don't do this stuff on the internet, that just has that specific bit of it.
Maybe like refers to the bigger policy even.
Right. Could do that. And so if they have questions about things, you know, just put like, this is what is expected of you to be able to use this service. And then if there's, you know, more things that could be in the official policy, which is available, but it's not something they have to read to access the computer on a daily basis.
Well, just kind of looking at the computers now. So one tells people how to use the print system because it's a little convoluted. Okay. The other one is how to do, you know, the kind of like the short blurb of kind of like the rules of the computers, and you have 2 hours, please no food or drink, or blah, blah, blah. So I think the basics of, you know, the computer usage is, you know, fine in a format in that manner. When it's on the computer, that is more the use of the actual computer. And I think that's where we can shorten, you know, is we can
write.
Yeah.
But like the code of conduct.
Yes, we can.
I refer two to of the ones that I found had guidelines, and one of them was a brochure. So I mean, that acrylic having the guidelines, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah, it there's no way to think I can link like the brochure, like you can't highlight to like, I don't know.
You mean like doing a QR code and something that's printed off on there?
No, like when you come to that page, if you need more information to click,
there would just have to be a link. Once you got in to this, once you agreed and got into the system, then there could be a link to it.
Yeah, I'll have to talk with the software company to see how that works. Because by clicking that link, it opens up the desktop, thereby does it allow you to jump past the I agree, don't agree?
No, you'd have to agree first.
But that's what I'm saying. On our system, I'd have to check to see if that is even a possibility, because will it open just a a lot of systems, we're not set up like a kiosk system. You can't just walk up and do that one individual thing. It's like access to that one point gives you everything. So I'd have to see if that's a possibility.
I guess I'm not understanding.
So if you click on a link on the security, the computer policy mm-hmm. page, okay. I don't know that it doesn't jump past the I agree statement.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that wouldn't be, you wouldn't have the link until after, because you would have to agree to use the computer. And then you'd get to the desktop, and then the desktop would have the link that could take you if you wanted more information about the policy.
Oh, yeah.
And then at that point, if you disagreed, you just get off the computer. It's fine. You know, you haven't done anything. You wouldn't need access to the full policy before you agreed to the thumbnail that you're putting up there that says, don't do all this crap.
So basically all it would be is a shortcut on the desktop.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's what I was picturing you saying is that the link would be within the security page of saying, you know, this is our policy.
No,
if someone clicked that,
no, that's too complicated.
Yeah. I've seen libraries do that, but they have a different system.
Yeah. No, it would just be because I mean, I think that maybe out of all of the patrons that use the computer, maybe one might be interested in learning more about the policy, maybe one ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There would be no need to have the, but that way it would be available to them. So if there was ever, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. this is not how we're supposed to be using the computer, you can just click right there and see in the policy that's spelled out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're a world that's kind of conditioned to go past a lot of the policy information.
Yes.
They're like, come on,
policies are written for boards, for the government, and for library students who have to look up policies.
It's there to cover situations when people are in doubt of things.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If somebody had a question, then you can be like, oh, there's a link right there. Mm-hmm. You'll find it.
Do people know? I mean, like, policies are everywhere and we have to do the acknowledgement things, but do people really think like, I need to cover my butt, I'm going to look at the policy? Just don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do either.
No, the Chattanooga one that you shared is so simple, like anyone can read it. Like, here's a sentence on unsupervised children, noise, food,
right,
profanity. Like, this would make sense for someone to scroll through because they could understand it.
But that one seems more like the full library policy.
Yeah, I don't think they had an actual internet policy, but you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like in the public computer area almost. Mm-hmm.
I do like that. In a short,
and it's not a policy, it's a guidelines, right?
Yeah. Okay. So mm-hmm. maybe the computer is just showing the guidelines.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between the policy and the rules too. And so we kind of have to delineate.
Could we put the rules printed on that acrylic thing?
So they kind of already are. Right. Yeah.
So then we can just update the rules if we feel so inspired. But really all we need.
So a lot of times, yeah. So a lot of times the rules are like, this is, you know, it's 10 cents for printing and 20 cents for color. And, you know. Yeah, just something.
The next one over has something different.
Yes, that is how to send it to the right printer.
So this has like
Because we do single-sided and double-sided printing, and not everybody knows how to do that switch.
Fair enough.
Okay, but this still says give your first name to staff.
Yes, we have not had a chance to update that line.
Okay.
It's.
And computer sessions are limited to 4 hours a day?
Yes. Okay. They get on the guest pass, gives them 2 hours, and then they are welcome to get an additional to beyond that, and it's each guest passes two. Okay. We did that. Some of the teens came in and they would game all day. We don't mind, obviously, you know, we welcome them, but at the same time, we had one in the past that we felt that it posed a health risk for because he was in here 8 hours a day and without taking breaks.
Yeah.
And so,
oh, baby.
Yeah. And
have
so,
some water, go to the bathroom,
exactly. Take a shower. Exactly. So we wanted to address that. And that's primarily too for people who are, I'd say, more generalized use of the computer. If someone is working on their resume or working on a business, something or other, you know, they can extend longer through the day. We're not against that. We just want to make sure that we have equal access for everybody.
Well, I propose that we take like a highlighter and just kind of do a quick highlight over lines that we really like, and then maybe like have a volunteer compile those into a readable format, kind of like we did with the other
business. Right, because we have all these different things.
Yeah, there's like, so much. Nice. Oh, listen, there's so many little.
And what are, and maybe if you kind of throw out what you think are the most important, because I think the code of conduct, you know, is important. But other than that, what do you want to see in the policy, or what do you think?
Well, I think, you know,
like, you know, the old one had open access, children's use, and appropriate use.
Mm-hmm.
The global network bit, I don't know that is even necessary.
There's like one like chunk here at the very bottom. Remember, public library computers are not private or secure. Public library computers cannot be modified for individual use. Those are two like really biggies that should probably be on your screen.
Yeah, I think, you know, just because all the policies have a variety of stuff. And like I said, I think last time we may see stuff that we haven't even thought of that, you know, just doesn't come to mind. Like,
right. But then is it even necessary for this library? Because not everything is relevant to everything.
Correct. What was the example? You know, I think like, okay, so like the Newport Library, they had, you know, the definition of social software, that's basically, you know, social networking. And they kind of got into rules of commenting. Is that something that we want to, basically, they barely listed it, but all they kind of mentioned was, you know, youth shouldn't be posting, you know, a lot of identifying information, and also,
you know, is that part of our policy? I mean, that's a really good idea, and that is something that their parents should monitor. But yeah, the library staff isn't going to be monitoring that.
You know, and they might have just put that in there as a general FYI. You know,
the Bellingham one says the library provides internet access to minors. And it affirms the right and responsibilities of parents or guardians to determine and monitor their children's use of the library's resources.
Yeah, and we've got good. That in the 2012 policy, upholds and affirms the right of each individual to have access to constitutionally protected material. Also affirms the right and responsibility of parents to determine and monitor their own children's use of library materials and resources, including electronic resources.
Mm-hmm. There was that one part that I had mentioned with the, you know, the don't violate federal state laws, blah, 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 violating, you know, I get, you know, bullying comes under harassing, threatening materials or something like that. And, you know, including posting such messages or something like that.
Well, again, it gets into how detailed you want to be, because, I mean, if you want to spell it out, because people don't necessarily know or think about it. But realistically, you could just say, you know, you can't do stuff that's against the law.
Well,
and or do you want to spell out what those specifically?
Well, those, I mean, are? You know, I kind of like how they at least kind of encompassed, you know, they did seem to grab everything, you know, from spam to.
So if we like, if you like that paragraph, maybe we just, yeah, you know, circle that and include that paragraph. Mm-hmm. In,
yeah.
Is this Sayus law?
Yeah. There was just, they did ours in 2019.
I wonder if we can kind of take that one, cross out what doesn't apply to us, and just start sticking at stuff that does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it seems like a lot of that stuff in the Sayus law one is good.
Yeah, I mean, they even have about hacking, essentially, or, you know, threatens or damages or does damage to the library computers or printers or network. You know, there's another thing. Loading spyware, viruses, Trojans, blah, blah, blah. That is something else that's probably needed nowadays.
How many pages was their policy?
Two.
Two, okay. They've got a lot for
because like this section too, it says like this policy is to be used in conjunction with I don't know what a library for everyone is, but other library policies and all federal, state, and local laws and regulations concerning the use of property and computing resources.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. I like that. There's one of these policies that also mentions the Children Internet Protection Act. Mm-hmm. On internet mm-hmm. safety warning and notice to parents and guardians, like that kind of falls into that. And then we could obviously make a note, but I like that.
I thought you were raising your hand. Sorry. I'm not sure how like legal this is, but it says use of library public computers or wireless connection constitutes acceptance of this computer and internet mm-hmm. use policy. Mm-hmm. So you're not even having to click anything, but it's just you walk in, you get on the computer, you're acknowledging that you are going to follow these. If it's important.
Yeah,
I want to underline that one. This policy.
Yeah, I think the way that there's a setup is kind of like rules, first page, and then just three paragraphs for the policy portion, really, you know, kind of like that. They also allude to, you know, this is the policy. It's consistent with the library's rules of conduct. So kind of partnered. Mm-hmm. That way you're not having to repeat yourself kind of twice.
I kind of also like the idea of this one says access to the networks and the information technology environment at this library is a privilege. Mm-hmm. All users must respect the rights of other users, libraries, equipment, and all applicable license and contractual agreements related to paid resources.
Yeah. So do we want to highlight?
Yeah.
Section? If we're looking at time, 7:20 now. We still have quite a few things on the agenda. So how much time do we want to continue to dedicate to this?
For this one? Mm-hmm.
I think we just need a plan. Anyone willing to work on this?
Well, I can work on it based off of all the ones that have been emailed to me, condense some of the points that I'm seeing reiterated.
Well, if, you know, and if we do that thing, like circle the parts that you like.
Yeah.
So that
maybe just kind of while we're talking and approving other things, just kind of circle the ones you really like.
Yeah. Okay. If you send her the website, she could just copy and paste.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. Right. I'm all about the copy and paste.
There should be a circle.
Okay. So still Laura's highlight. Willing to put together a kind of a draft mm-hmm. policy. Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I have from this is Wendy and I were thinking that bullet point, short readability, but the Sayusla one to me is like a bit more detailed. Who wants bullet points? Who wants details?
Bullet points.
So that goes back to can we have an official policy that may be a couple paragraphs or two pages long, but then have a bullet point version that goes on the computer that the patrons may or may not actually read.
Yeah, I mean, they're big screens. It's a lot. So technically, you know, we could, you know, do rules on top and then policy at the bottom.
Right, but do you want them to read it?
Well,
if you put it all on, the odds of it getting read,
you know, so slim. The obviously the most pointed things we want them to, you know, be cognizant of,
right?
You know, just kind
of got it. I've seen some that kind of have the pointed thing in bold, and then the rest of it.
We can
pointed thing in bold. The rest of
it. We can work with it, and then I can try and put like a example up on the computer to see how it lays out, and then kind of look at that. We can always tweak it. We can, you know, put it columns for the rules or something like that. And so it's not so, I mean, there's a way we can finesse it.
Okay.
But yeah, right now it's just a blank page. People pass by. So everything's an improvement.
I'm going to email myself. That might be.
All right, so if anyone has feedback for Laura, you can give it to her at the end of the meeting or email. And then item number 5 is review overall policies list. Since we are short on time, do we want to postpone that one to next meeting? Does that sound okay?
Sounds like a great plan.
Okay.
That's this one though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then item 6.
You're always welcome to like listen in on our future meetings.
Yeah, item 6 is Cindy's position will be open next month.
Mm-hmm. So we have not had anyone apply yet.
I have a friend who's going to apply.
Oh, good. Perfect. Yay.
And I've had one person who has possible interests. She's been a long-term patron, so we'll see. Unfortunately, I can't remember her name to like tag back at her and say, hey, any further thoughts? So I'll just have to wait till she comes in again.
Do we have an initial deadline?
No.
Waiting for someone to apply.
It's open to fill, and then I think it's basically open to fill, and I think it just basically says her term goes until June 30th.
Okay.
Please submit applications to the city by June 9th. So
okay, so open to fill.
Oops. The person I know is going to, I think they can download the application online.
Yeah.
And then it says drop it off at the city. So that is her plan.
Perfect.
They don't drop it off here?
I emailed mine to Kitty when
you can email it.
Okay. Yeah, you can email it.
Okay. Don't remember.
You emailed Kitty in City Hall. Okay. Yeah, because they have to take them in and process them first.
Yeah, it took a long time.
I think it was just the time of year that yours kind of came through because at that time was coming off of COVID. And so there were still meetings that were like, are we having a meeting this month? So.
Item 7 is library update and review.
Okay, well, it's been busy. We do not have a budget summary for this month and possibly even for next month. The both the accountant and the HR assistant who also helped out with the accounting have their having to replace those positions. So the only one left is handling all the city financial transactions. And so
gross.
So did Emily left.
And, yeah.
Okay. So with no one doing HR?
Not at this, it defaults to Jason. So and so right now everybody's a bit waterlogged with stuff, trying to get stuff done. So it's hard because it is fiscal year end as well as fiscal year start. So I have no idea where we'll be at the end and the beginning, but hopefully we will be somewhere in between. I did get a donation to help with our So the backpacks were initially funded through the Ready to Read program, as well as some of the library program funding. But the increase of cost of everything just, grew more than I had, just everything. Everything increased in cost. So the Girl Scout who was working with me on the backpack program, her troop donated money to the backpack program. So we did take in funds for that. And then I applied and got a $1,000 grant from the ETF Foundation. But that won't come in until July 1st.
And that's $500 more than what
Last year was 650.
Oh. Well, good increase. Good job, Michelle.
Hi. Good job. Well, I asked for more due to just the initial increase. I mean, we are taking in 100, you know, I will take up to 120 kids on the reading program. And so that just, you know, the increase of new, you know, more free books and supplies for crafts and just, you know, prizes.
How many days has that been open? The reading program?
Today
was the first day. Okay, I was just going to say.
And it was just a very busy day. I probably, and not just for summer reading program, I probably signed 10 people up for library cards, 10, 12 people.
Nice.
Yeah. We had, 74 people today. It was a very busy day. You know, wow. Whereas sometimes on a slow day, it's like 28 and then up to 50. So 74 is a big day,
yeah.
Which is not going to be anything considering Wednesdays. We get slammed with our Wednesday programming. So people come in before the program and after the program to sign up, get books, and all that lovely fun stuff. I sent everyone our latest and greatest of the summer register, the program itself, as well as this is the summer library guide. I've only grabbed over three, so everybody can kind of share and look. Here.
Thank you.
I'll go get you one.
I can go grab them. You keep talking.
If there's not one.
You keep talking. I will find it.
Just, I think I'm out.
We can pass it around.
Yep.
All right.
It's okay.
We're good.
So, all right. Who's up? Okay. I need that one back though.
I spent a long time printing off 525 copies of this full program to give to Laurel Elementary School before school ended. So which got a mix of feedback because some of the families saw it and some of the families, I think it's still stuck in their backpacks that they won't see until fall. And so I'm like, oh, damn it.
I like that it's like kind of like book order-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's very attractive to kids.
So it's very colorful, very bright, vibrant. Yes. I do. It's
cute.
I spend, yes. It's okay. I do spend time thinking up changes to the program each year to tweak it a little bit so that it's not always the same thing. So the reading program itself, I increased in age by 2 years. I'm now taking the tweens. Because I sat there's no real reason why I couldn't take on two additional years. We used to be 1 to 12, now we're 1 to 14. 14 year olds will read the same thing as a 12 year old, honestly. And so, you know, some of it was like, do I have enough free books that are more advanced? And I think for summer reading, they enjoy free. Most people enjoy free, so they will take it. And then, you know, we have a variety of free stuff, so they'll enjoy that. But I wanted to have something for them. I couldn't do something for the teens this year that's just a little bit more beyond the amount of time that I had to prepare something. And they are a different reading capacity for a 15 to 18 year old. So it's a whole other platform to advertise to that group. So maybe in the future. But this year, so added, half middle school and, you know, the elementary, as well as the younger kids. And so the program of reading each level, basically 250 pages is about yay big, about that many pages, depending on the size of the text. And the question had been before we moved up to 14, a child who is more reading at an advanced level, trying to get through 25 books, as opposed to a younger child who can pile through 40
picture books without an issue. So I wanted to make it less of a hindrance to that older child to get through. I wanted them to, you know, advance through the program and not feel defeated by it. And so this way, you know, if they're reading half the books, you know, I have each level of saying, okay, they're reading the bigger books. They only need 5 to achieve this level instead of the 10. Yes, it becomes a little more complicated. I'm going to read 5 books advanced and 2 books that are like skinny books. And it's like, I'm not going to like fight them on it. I just want them to read, but I don't want them to feel encumbered by what they're reading to try and advance. So that will hopefully, you know, spur them on and get the older readers a little bit more through the program. Not that they weren't before. It's just, I think they started to, you know, feel I have so much to accomplish. So, and then we have all the summer programs. So that is every week for 7 weeks. And we have a good roster this year. We start off with Martial Arts America tomorrow. So they're going to be learning about Taekwondo.
Is Master Martin leading that?
Yes. As far as I know, I've not heard otherwise.
Bruce.
I don't know. There's a lot of kids who are in Taekwondo and so they're coming and they are all going to be pros, which is good, you know, because that'll, you know, make the other kids excited to join it. And then we're having the museum back for the 3rd time this year, which is awesome because they do a really great job. Then we have Ren, who's also returning. They're going to do bird migration and kind of activity games with that. The campfire storytelling, Alex is a singer-songwriter, and he's going to sing songs with the kids, and then they're going to create their own song and sing that by the end of the assembly. Magic reading, this is a magician who kind of like talks about reading through his magic, and he's going to make balloon animals at the end. So, yes, he told me he has over 200 animals he can make in balloon animals, and I was like, what? That's amazing. I mean, most people can't even think of 200 animals, let alone make them. He said he'll keep it down to 40 for our group. I was like, good. And then the Eugene Symphony Orchestra is coming again this year. They're going to do woodwinds and brass. Last year they did string instruments. And then we have the Humane Society. Hopefully they'll be able to bring their ambassador animal, as they say. So yes, people always want the bunny, but the bunny always gets adopted somehow. So that's good. And I'm getting blinded by the light.
It's mandatory.
It is.
Oh, yeah, I guess we're not doing program like special things.
Here we are.
So the other things that are in the flyer that's keeping us super, super busy. So a couple things. First of all, is notice the beautiful artwork. This was our partnership with the middle school.
I noticed it's even in the picture.
Well, of course, I wanted to express our lovely art so all the parents and families can come and see. So the Sakura paintings on the front rows are the 6th graders. A great job, and it's on both sides. And then the icon is the 7th and 8th graders. And they
are impressive.
They are impressive. They've got some amazing artists.
Impressive.
So they are doing really well in art.
And pencil drawings in high school didn't.
Yeah. And she said a lot of the kids in the beginning thought they'd never be able to you know, do anything like that. And look at what they did by the end. So. Yeah.
Can we auction them off
after you're done? Oh, no. They return back to the school. Okay. So the kids are loaning it to us over the summer.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, they'll be up all summer.
It's a really clever way that you came up with the
hanging. That is all the art teacher. She is used to hanging stuff up at school. So she did a
thing, you know, wonderful job for us. I was like, woo, it worked well. And, you know, our building structure bars are finally being put in years.
Hey, they've been holding the building up for years.
Yeah, yeah. The funny part is there aren't any in the kids area. So, but it's nice that it's in the adult section because the adult section never quite gets the decoration. I don't have the type of decoration that I can necessarily do over here. So, but just on it's funny because a lot of libraries don't decorate.
Decorating is so much fun.
Well, it's one of the things that people have come in and they've been very keen on noticing, and they're like, oh, it's always, you know, fun to come in here and see new things and see us switch out. And so, you know, it's appreciated, and we like kind of being able to have the outside come in and work together with the schools. And then, so talking about the schools, the next thing is the story walk. So working with the high school, the intro to teaching students. The intro to teaching students came up with, so story walks are essentially taking a book. They have two, How to Cheer Up Dad and Where the Wild Things Are. They basically dismantle the book and they put it on like a board placard. And then they put either like a question or an activity so that they're basically, you know, like your yard signs, mm-hmm. and you stake them in the ground and the family walks around and reads it. They, you know, answer the questions. It's supposed to be an interactive walk with your family. And so bringing reading beyond the library. A lot of parks are doing it, and it's in a more constructed long-term exhibit so that families, you know, get to do that. Ours is very temporary, of course. It's waterproof, but not theft-proof. And so we will be only running it. I have my two volunteers who are helping out with the summer programming. They're going to put it out underneath over by the water tower, and they'll put it out from 12 to 2. And our program runs 12:30 to 1:30. So people can go before and after, and then we'll pick it up because otherwise we would lose our signage. So that should be a lot of fun. A lot of people are kind of interested in that as well. And then our big, big launch of our new collection is the Reading Adventure Backpacks. We have 10, still processing some of the stuff. So, but this is our fun little one. Here is our animal backpack. And then here is our music backpack. Just to point out, like, nobody's able to see on video, but that's okay. But we wanted this to be more interactive, and the age is from 2 to 8 for early literacy. A lot of the literacy rate, unfortunately, in Oregon has fallen since 2019, like greatly, among early. COVID. Well, it's actually preceded COVID though, since 2019. And it hasn't been, unfortunately, increasing since kids have gone back to school. So, but just giving kids books is a little bit more limiting. And I want to give kids more of a roundabout experience when they go out. So, you know, we have our little puppet friends, and we have more of these because puppets always get, like, you know,
gross.
We got a little, what we got, safari and barn animals. So a little bit of everybody. But we have like Memory Match. And then we have, let's see. Oh, we have lacing so that they can learn. We have, you know, just your general learning letters and numbers, you know, fun other activities, animal escape, I spy, so that they can get recognition of words to images. We have a a bilingual school readiness backpack, and that one has math cubes in it. It has a bilingual mat that is both in English and Spanish. We have fun ones that are like cooking and camping, so that the kids can, you know, at any age can help out and learn. There's just, we have an arts and crafts one. We have Spirograph, a junior version, so the kids can like learn manual dexterity, as well as be creative.
Are those available for checkout?
Not now, the July 5th.
Okay.
And they'll be checked out for 1 week because obviously there's going to be a huge demand. So they can learn instruments.
I want to check out that one.
Yeah, hopefully we'll learn to turn the off button on. And I'll just keep it always on.
So optimistic.
I am so much. Then, you know, sing, you know, we have lyrics. You can't tell you how hard it is to find just lyrics and not like songbooks with like piano and guitar. And I'm like, nobody needs all that. But, you know, how do you dance? And, you know, other ones were like, they teach you how to dance. This is actually a ballerina and she takes them through steps so they can kind of learn. This one's on how to be a cat.
Absolutely.
You know, all about sound. And then, of course, our, you know, music instruments that they can play with. So
is there a list of everything that's inside of those?
There is. We actually have an activity and kind of we were working on updating some section of it, but one of the girls got a word
mistake. I was just thinking if I checked one of those out.
Oh yeah, how do you know what's on back in the bag?
So
is the inventory list in the bag with the items so the parents make sure that they bring the things back?
Yep.
Good.
So
and attached
this. Yeah. We were updating something.
So the inventory list is lost.
We can reprint it. So yes, it has kind of like the backpack rules. Please go through it. Please make sure, you know, you return stuff. And
I'm so in love with that. That's laminated.
Yes. Well, it's part of the actual packet of stuff. So we did additional activities. There's about 10 pages.
Yes.
Michelle,
oh my God.
And so
it's been a hot minute coming, right? They've been a work in progress. That's
well,
a lot of stuff to do.
It is. Yeah, and 10 backpacks worth is I've luckily it's had so much.
I think I would have just introduced them one at a time.
Well, here's the backpack of the month.
One backpack. You all
find it. One backpack, a whole city of kids all wanting it. So part of the project that the Girl Scout was working on was promoting it. And so we had 30 preschoolers here one morning and they all came and they played and they interacted with the bags. And then she brought it to, that was the morning preschool. And then she brought it to the afternoon preschool on site and they all played and kind of interacted with it there with their parents and teachers. And then we took it over to the school. We took it over to Laurel. they at first directed me to the wrong class. the Girl Scout was presenting in another room and I was like, I wonder why she's running late. So I started talking about summer reading program and the backpack to this other kindergarten class and they were all psyched. And then I learned it was across the hall. So I went over there.
Kindergarten, did you go straight, left or right?
So basically the teacher brought me in. She thought it was, but she was a substitute for the day.
Okay.
She thought it was for her class. And so she
just yes, somebody to take over.
So it was to the left. Okay. And then I was supposed, and then I ended up going to the right. They're like, oh, you're over here. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was kind of funny.
I wonder if my son's got to see them.
So. Kindergarten.
James is in Mrs. Strout. My little guy's in kindergarten.
I think so.
Mrs. Strout is like if you walk straight down.
Oh no, then I went left.
You were on the other side. Yeah.
Yes. And I learned that when you have a group of kids together and you're talking to them about, you know, getting the free book as opposed to borrowing a book, 30 questions of, you know, or who can I bring to the library ended up being like another 20 questions. Can I bring my uncle? Yes. Can I bring my friend and his dad? Yes. Can I ask a question? Yes. Well, my birds fight with each other outside. That's not really a question. That's a statement, but I am so happy. Yes. Little kids are very funny. So yes, that was a good time. All the teachers wanted me, you know, wanted us to come back. Are you going to talk to all the classes individually? I wish I could. There's just no time. Maybe a general assembly. So maybe in the future. But yes, they are very psyched. It could be a good thing. It could be an overwhelming thing because, you know, you open the floodgates to something that's new and fun and everybody wants it. So we'll check it out 1 week at a time. And then for at least the first 3 months, there won't be any renewals. Because otherwise
everybody needs an opportunity.
Yes, exactly. So, and then summer reads, we had books that were ones that we already had in the library that were either new or in really good condition. And I thought, well, here's a way to like drive more interest in different things, anything from our library app to just coming to the library. So basically now you can
enter to win.
So
sounds good.
That is us for right now. There's not much other planned for the summer at this moment because we have the
launch. That's it.
Yeah.
Which is good to not have sounds more. Like
we've got some spare time this summer.
Meanwhile, we've been trying to pump through all the books from the library book sale that we took first before they were on sales for the library. So there's a lot to kind of process through that. And but I, you know, we've lost some volunteers trying to get in. I started 3 new ones, but can always use more. So working on that. And then very happy that all my teens graduated. I had 3 teens. They all graduated. And one is going to school in Washington State. 2 are staying here and staying as volunteers.
Nice.
Excellent. Like, they're still my teens, even though they're 18 now.
A couple years.
So cool. That is me.
So I'm supposed to be sending an email to Jason about the programming and numbers of engagement or who has been a part of programming every month. Do we feel like Jason with the staff changes has capacity to even read an email right now?
Did I realize we were doing that?
Yes, this we could do week. It every other month.
I didn't do it last month.
Every quarter.
That sounds good. Quarter
really sounds
great. I mean, I think, yeah.
Because I don't think he... Like you said, it's going to be something that he's going to want to even look at with that right, frequency. Right. Yeah. But to have a summary every 3 months might be very valuable.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now they're working on staffing. So
yeah. Lots of priorities.
Is that me?
I believe that is you.
It's a new watch. I don't know what's happening with it.
It's like, it matches your eyes.
I can change the band. So.
Yes. All right, are we on to other business?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. So next month we'll vote on a chair. So get your nominee in mind.
Jennifer. Do you want to do it again?
I would do it again, but if someone's up for doing it, I will totally happily hand it over.
If you will do it again, I would like to nominate you.
Okay. Well, both of you think about
that was a trap. Yeah.
Okay.
That was very leading.
You just want to make sure you don't get volunteered.
Since you're working on the policy, I don't want you to back out of the policy.
I don't know. I think it's Nancy's term.
Yeah.
Should keep us in order.
See if I couldn't fall down and do something else.
You're not supposed to take yourself out of the running that way, Nancy.
Oh, I can't.
Well, it says somebody was at my front door and there's a picture of the couch with the cell phone.
There better not be a couch at your front door.
Wait. Well, the couch came to your door.
There's a picture of a couch with a phone at your door.
Oh,
there is a.
Oh, how's that?
It says phone location, though. Maybe it's telling you.
Yeah. I hit the thing to see who was at my door.
Your couch is calling you.
It's like when a car sends you a text, look in your bag.
So weird.
I think that's just a generic picture because it's telling you to update your settings.
Well, it's just, it just dinged and said somebody at the front door.
That's a stock photo. That's not at your front door.
No.
I think
that was her that was dinging.
I don't want you to have to climb over a couch.
If you do, Nancy, we're call us. We'll move the couch.
If there's a couch on her porch.
That's true.
I came home and one lady was taking groceries and she says, I was trying to leave you a note since you have a doorbell camera. These were delivered to the wrong house.
Oh, I'm not stealing your groceries.
And so my friend and I had just been walking and he said, well, come on. And so we each took a load and that way she would have been with three trips. But see, those apartments are, they have a 17th Avenue address and they're on Magnolia.
Oh,
yeah. So anybody that tries to deliver gets confused.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Any other comments? Okay, calling the next board meeting is July 18th, 6:30. Calling this meeting to an end at 7:52.
Perfect.